I was only 11 years old, so I was still a little afraid of the dark. It seemed like a dream, but I remember running as fast as I could because there was a vampire right behind me. A light was on at a house in the distance, so I knew that if I could just get to that doorstep before my pursuer, I could be the first one to ring the doorbell and say, "Trick or treat!" Yeah, my friend and I had a lot of fun that night. I was dressed up like Jethro of the Beverly Hillbillies, and you already know what my friend's costume was. And we sprinted around the neighborhood, passing up all the witches and ghosts and ballerinas, and filled our grocery bags full of candy. And then we switched costumes, he into a cheesy homemade Spider-Man, and I into an equally lame, low-budget Frankenstein, and we went around the neighborhood a second time. Now, since I shared my bounty with my family, I was spared the speech on gluttony. And my dad had a weakness for chocolate anyway, so it was fine by him. You know, I didn't give it a lot of thought back then in the good old days, but now, decades later, I know there are a lot of people that have a problem with Halloween. There are Christians that wonder why God-fearing people would celebrate this so-called holiday. Do you know anybody who's troubled by Halloween or dead set against participating in Halloween? Well, they might have a good reason. Some reasons stem from the past. I mean, today Halloween seems like harmless fun, but its origins were anything but. It started about 2,500 years ago and was called the Festival of Death. A pagan order of priests called the Druids would dress up in dark robes and go from house to house to collect food and other treats for their dead spirits. If you didn't give them what they wanted, then they would put a curse on your house. So that would be their trick. But what really was bad is if they would kidnap a child and use your child as a human sacrifice. So it was pretty bloody, pretty fearsome, and it really happened. So in the 8th century, the Pope, in an attempt to get the people to abandon that festival of death and all of its occult practices, established All Saints Day on today, November 1st. All Saints Day came to be called All Hallowed's, since it was a day to honor the hallowed ones. Since the Festival of Death occurred the evening before, it came to be called All Hallowed's Eve, or later Hallows-een, and finally Halloween. And thankfully today, Halloween is tamer than it once was, but some people still today wonder why liberated Christians would observe Halloween at all, and why we would allow our children to utter the same threat the Druids did 2,500 years ago. Trick or treat. Now, I know today it's an empty threat from these little kids, but people still ask the question, why do we make light of that? Some people are concerned about the apparent increase in criminal activity in some cities across our country. In Boston and other major cities, you see a major spike on this night. In not so major a city, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, trick-or-treating got changed forever in 1973. On that same night where I was having a blast running through my neighborhood, there was a little girl just 2 years younger than I who got raped and murdered in Fond du Lac. And ever since, trick-or-treating takes place on a Sunday afternoon from 1 to 3 in that town. Now, the Apostle Paul didn't have Halloween, but he did have different issues of Christian liberty to deal with. In his day, one of the issues was meat offered to idols. The priests, after offering the meat to Zeus or Athena or something like that, would take the choice parts home, and then the rest of the meat was snapped up by merchants and sold on the streets to the general public for a profit. Now, if you lived back then, would you buy meat that had been offered to an idol? Well, Paul said it was okay. After all, the earth is the Lord's. The pagan ceremony does nothing to the meat, so the New Testament Christians can feel free to eat that meat. But, you know, some Christians really had a hard time with that. So what did Paul do? Did he force them to eat it? No, of course not. He said, "Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall." Even though it was lawful for him to eat that food, Paul didn't want to offend or give people any cause for stumbling in anything, so the work he was doing wouldn't fall into discredit. Paul's motive in matters of adiaphora was, in his words, "to be all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." He was exhibiting Christian love. Imagine a fence dividing matters on your left of Christian liberty on one side from things that are commanded, that we are commanded to do on the other side. On one hand, on your left, in matters of Christian liberty, we need to be careful that we don't cause offense. Now, girls, I know you've been told that you may cause someone to sin simply by your choice of what you wear on a particular day. It's true. Please believe it. And guys, you know, using foul language is not only a form of offense, but it can also drag impressionable younger guys into the same sin. We need to stay on this side of the fence in cases like this and be careful not to cause offense and take advantage of liberties. On the other side are matters that are not in the realm of Christian liberty, but instead things that we should do and say. Here we should jump through or crash, jump over or crash through the fence and let our light shine and not really worry about causing offense. For example, preach the gospel in its truth and purity. Speak up for the unborn. Speak out against homosexuality. Now, some people are going to take offense in these things, but you are saying what's right. For example, when Jesus died on a cross, he wasn't doing anything wrong. And yet, there are people who take offense because of the cross. And they will, especially when you tell them that Jesus is the only way to heaven. But remember, you are not causing offense when you speak the truth in an evangelical manner. Some may choose to take offense anyway, and there's really not a lot you can do about that. Just teach in an evangelical manner and share what you know. So what about Halloween? Am I saying that you shouldn't participate in Halloween? Or that you were wrong to do so last night or whatever? No, of course not. It's part of your Christian liberty to do so. And you already know that I grew up without a troubled conscience about it. But what we should do is be careful and be aware of what we're doing. Not only on Halloween, but in all matters of Christian liberty. And please understand the distinction between being in a position where you could cause offense and being in a position to speak God's holy truth without concern that someone might take offense. Just do it in an evangelical manner. Prof. Sifford a few weeks ago told us about how God's importance within us is to increase, and our own self-importance should decrease. As long as this happens, we'll be on the way to making the right decisions when we are faced with this fence of offense. So I wish you God's blessings when you're in those situations. Let's close with hymn 550.